Today and tomorrow, we'll be wading in the roiling waters of the Women's March, the nonprofit that inspired millions worldwide to protest the Trump administration the day after the president's inauguration. The next protest day is January 19th, but there will be two major organizing groups because of a split between the founding mothers, reportedly based on anti-Semitism. As reported by Farrah Stockman in the New York Times, early on, black activist Tamika Mallory and Latino activist Carmen Perez told organizers Vanessa Rubel, who is Jewish, that Jews need to confront their own role in racism. And later, they pointed to Jews playing a large role in the slave trade. And Rubel says that's partly why she was forced out of the group. Now, in one line in the Times report, Tamika Mallory says she didn't make those anti-Semitic statements, and we'll hear from her tomorrow. But meanwhile, the perception of a schism was underscored this week when an offshoot of Mallory's group postponed the Women's March in Eureka, California, saying there were too few women of color in the leadership there. Let's start our look with Vanessa Rubel, now founder of the group March On. Vanessa, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And Farrah Stockman reported in the New York Times that early on in the first organizing meetings in 2017, you said something like your Jewish heritage inspired your activist work. And both Tamika Mallory, who is black, and Carmen Perez, Latino, said what to you?
So what I was trying to say at that moment was part of the way I come to this work is understanding my own history. Obviously, Jews have a long history of persecution, and understanding specifically the Holocaust really made me feel like I need to fight on behalf of other people who are being oppressed and marginalized and hurt by the majority society. And that, I think, is what I was trying to express in that conversation. You know, it's not unique to me to feel that way. You know, tikkun olam, repair the world, mm-hmm. is a Hebrew saying. Mm-hmm. You saw this certainly in the civil rights movement. There were many, many Jews involved and at the forefront fighting on behalf of the black population. Mm-hmm. And all of that is something that I'm proud of. And I think that what likely happened in that conversation is that they took that to mean that I was equating Jewish struggles with the struggles of black and Latina communities in the U.S., which is really, really comparing apples to oranges.
Well, we're going to have a chance to ask Tamika what she heard in your saying, but is it true that they both replied that Jews need to confront their own role in racism, and that even later there was something of a, you know, a shouting match between you in which she said that you people, meaning Jews, controlled money, hold all the wealth?
So it's hard to remember the exact words of what were said. I don't actually remember them saying, well, Jews need to confront their own privilege, because I certainly would have agreed with that statement. What I remember and what I was taken aback by was the idea that Jews were specifically involved and predominantly involved in the slave trade, and that Jews make a lot of money off of black and brown bodies. And those were the statements that I remember. And similar things were repeated sort of throughout our organizing together.
And by the way, it was Evie Harmon, a white woman who happened to be there, who, again, told Farrah Stockman in the New York Times that things were said like, you people, meaning Jews, hold all the wealth. Look, this is an incredibly sensitive topic. Do you think that this is why you were pushed out of the group? Both Mallory and Perez deny that.
I think that there were certainly other conflicts. I think that that was one piece of it. And I think that probably that initial conversation set in motion a series of events in which they wanted to sideline and minimize truly my central role in organizing it. I mean, I was the person who put together the team, was building out the departments. I was certainly behind much of the strategy. And I think that for whatever reason, they really wanted to minimize my role. Now, I will say that to a certain extent, I was okay with that. I do believe marginalized people should be centered. And I think that doesn't happen often. So to a certain extent, I was okay with being in the shadows. But I think that there's a difference between making room for other people and being completely made invisible.
Look, later, Tamika Mallory was also criticized for attending a rally with Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, who is virulently anti-Semitic. He said in the fall he's not anti-Semite, he's anti-termite. He said in the past Jews have infected the whole world with poison and deceit. I mean, there's no question there. Her backers, including Linda Sarsour, the Palestinian activist, point out it's complicated for Tamika. Her son's father was murdered 17 years ago. The Nation of Islam played an important role in raising the boy. That group has also helped inner-city families. But is it true that you were concerned and voicing concern that anti-Semitism was infecting the Women's March movement?
So let me start by saying that I do think the issues around the Nation of Islam are incredibly complex. I think that you can understand Farrakhan is hateful and very dangerous, and you can understand that the Nation of Islam has done very good work within the Black community. And I think that that is very fraught. You know, this stuff didn't come up. The Farrakhan stuff really didn't come up until after I'd already left. What I was concerned about during the march was the appearance of aligning ourselves with a group that was known to be anti-Semitic and how that could, you know, shatter a very, very vulnerable coalition. My sense was that if the Nation of Islam were to provide security, the Jewish community could see that as highly problematic. You know, and I think Linda made the point that, you know, the Nation of Islam provides great security and they protect all lives. And I absolutely believe that. But nevertheless, the optics of it were not good, were not okay. And that is what I warned them about. The Farrakhan stuff really emerged after I left and enraged a whole lot of people. And I was actually very shocked because I would have thought they would immediately distance themselves from that. And I just don't think they did that in a way that was ever satisfactory to the people who were being maligned.
Well, and of course, into the mix came the horrific massacre at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. And so feelings were very, very raw at that point. But again, Linda Sarsour, the Palestinian activist, posted a piece in which she noted that and understood how feelings were raw. She said her group raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to bury the victims of that shooting. But she also pointed out it was a white supremacist who carried that out, and that this splintering of the women's movement is exactly what white supremacists want. Meanwhile, there are now two major organizations where there was one. Are you worried that there might be a perception that Women's March, Inc. is led by women of color and focused on diversity, and your group, March On, is focused on anti-Semitism and largely white, and women feeling that they have to choose?
Well, I would just say that's an absolutely false dichotomy. March On is an incredibly diverse coalition. The chairman of our board is a woman named Jackie Algie, who has been a longtime organizer and the real matriarch of March On. And we have an incredibly diverse board, and we've been very intentional about this. And we've been doing the very, very hard work to be radically inclusive. And we're not perfect, but I think we've really achieved the start of that. And so I think that the media painting this as one group for women of color and one group for white women is just incredibly false. And I think it's also very dangerous.
Is this, do you think, Vanessa, maybe a splinter that's needed to be worked at and gotten out for 50 years now? I mean, women of color in the 60s felt they were left out of the women's movement then.
Well, that's exactly why I specifically reached out to women of color to come help lead this movement. I knew that if this movement was led by a bunch of white women and a bunch of white women only marched on Washington, it would be a disaster for our country. You know, my original vision was, look, the men have really screwed up our country. Look where we are now. Can the women rise above women of every, for lack of a better word, tribe in this country, can we rise above and say, look, we're not going to be best friends overnight because there's a lot of distrust, but can we work on this together because we have a common enemy?
Is the answer no?
No, I don't think that's the answer at all. Mm. I think that this work is really hard work. Mm. And I think this is part of the really hard work. And that's what's being done right now. We can't come together as a coalition and learn about each other if we have these underlying feelings and misconceptions about groups of people. And if we can come to a better place, then this has been ultimately a good thing.
Yeah. That's Vanessa Rubel, the activist who helped start the Women's March. She's since left that group. Her group is March On. Vanessa, thanks so much for talking to us.
Absolutely.
And again, the New York Times reporting on this Women's March split has one line in which the African-American activist Tamika Mallory says she did not make any of the anti-Semitic remarks attributed to her. Let's bring Tamika in now. Again, Tamika Mallory is now co-president of Women's March, Inc. Tamika, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you.
It's a very tender topic. Let's get to it. Vanessa Rubel says she was taken aback by you and Carmen Perez saying that Jews predominantly were involved in the slave trade. Did you say that?
Absolutely not. That conversation did not happen. I didn't say that at all. We've heard from the trans community when they have had issues with not feeling included in the Women's March. We've heard from Black women who have had a continual sort of struggle with the Women's March, and we have continued to step up to that and to try to find ways for each community to feel included in the work that we're doing.
Well, others thought that they heard you. Eddie Harmon, who's also a white activist, she says you and Carmen Perez were berating Vanessa Rubel and saying things like, you people hold all the wealth. According to Evie Harmon, she said, oh my God, they're talking about her being Jewish, and she wished she had stood up and said, this is wrong. So not quite
sure. Well, actually,
sure.
There are yeah. other people who were there that said that that conversation did not happen.
And why was Vanessa Rubel forced out? Why did you and Carmen Perez not want her as a leader anymore?
It's very interesting that what is asked of us all the time is, why did Carmen Perez and Tamika Mallory, the women of color, decide that the leadership of Women's March needed to be different or needed to look different? And the question really should be, why did Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, Bob Bland,
national co-chair of the Women's March, the white fashion designer,
mm-hmm. and a number of other women decide this? These are women of all different backgrounds. So, you know, it is just very interesting to us that this issue is as if it was just between the women of color and a Jewish woman, rather than understanding that there are a number of women, including white women, who were a part of, who are a part of the leadership. So it's not just that the villains, if you will, have attacked the others. No, actually, that's not what happened.
Have you reached out to her?
Yeah, in fact, I mean, to speak to that, we've asked for a public discussion between us and some of the folks who have made these particular charges against us. And we've actually seen where they have said that they do not feel that they should speak to us publicly. Mm-hmm. We are ready at any time, but we'd like for it to happen in public so that there can be no more misinformation put out.
Well, so tell me this, Tamika. How did you respond when Vanessa Rubel said that because of her Jewish background, she had decided to dedicate her life to working for the marginalized?
I mean, that's wonderful. I hope that she, you know, is doing that and finds her way to, you know, be a part of the resistance. I mean, I don't know exactly what to say to that. That's great.
The reporting was that you and Carmen were offended by that, as if a Jewish person was comparing her own experience to the experience of the Black oppressed person in the U.S. I mean, that was the reading. And you're saying that's not what happened at all.
No, it's not.
Look, I mean, how horrible if this whole thing has sprung out of a complete misunderstanding. But you have said to other members, and this again is Farrah Stockman's reporting in the New York Times, that you have said to white activist women that you don't trust them.
Actually, what I think I said was that I didn't trust particular individuals. I don't think I've ever said that I don't trust white women in general. Yeah. Yes, I have challenged white women, to do better. You know, I have no issue talking about privilege and white privilege and what I believe about it and how it has impacted people of color. But this notion that we somehow have zeroed in on the Jewish community is false. I have not said that I don't trust white women as a group of people.
Whatever happened and was reported and then became part of what people thought happened got amplified by the fact that it was revealed, I believe by CNN, that you had attended a rally with Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, who is virulently anti-Semitic. And people were asking you to discount that. And then that led them to think that you were supporting his anti-Semitism, the fact that you wouldn't discount going to that rally.
So what I would, you know, hope is that people would look at my track record, 20 years of work that I've been doing, fighting for justice for all marginalized people, and not to hold me accountable for the words of any other individual. You know, I follow a set of principles, and those principles say that we must fight systems of oppression, that we cannot be effective as leaders or organizers fighting individuals, but rather that we must look at the systems of oppression and do the work to resist that. And that's who I am, and that's what I'm committed to, and that's what the Women's March is also committed to.
But I have to ask you one more time about Farrakhan, because as you probably know, he's fomented a lot of falsehoods about the Jewish people. It was Nation of Islam research that backed a 1991 paper that claimed that the Jews were more involved in the slave trade than they were. The Atlantic took a look at that. We'll link our listeners at herenow.org. But can you disavow, condemn Louis Farrakhan's comments about the Jewish people?
What I can say is that my 20-year track record shows that he and I do not agree on a number of issues. And I believe that anyone who wants to take him up on his issues, his words, should direct those questions and concerns directly to him.
Hmm. What are your concerns about the women's movement? Two large organizations, in effect, forcing women to choose which one they'll get behind. And as your friend Linda Sarsour, the Palestinian activist who wrote a Facebook post supporting you, said, the concern now is that this is exactly what white supremacists want. It was white supremacists who were behind the attack on the Tree of Life synagogue. It's white supremacists who gunned down black parishioners. You have more in common in that enemy than you have differences between these two groups of women.
Absolutely. And I believe that historically oppressed communities should not be fighting against one another. We ought to be working together. You know, I believe that anti-Semitism and anti-Black racism and Islamophobia and all forms of hate need to be challenged.
Tamika, what would you tell women thinking, oh, no, this is the last thing we wanted was a split?
You had mentioned earlier that people are being forced to choose. And I hope that people won't feel that they're being forced to choose at all. I think that what people need to choose in this moment is to stand up for the most marginalized communities. We hope that people will look at the work that the Women's March has done. You know, we have not always done things properly because that is what growing pains are all about. But I think that our intention of being here to support the most vulnerable and to resist in a time where so many communities are feeling the pain is so important. And we hope that people will turn out in large numbers. Just do what makes you feel good in your local community.
Well, but are you worried about a negative effect of this? We already heard earlier this week that the Women's March organizers in Eureka, California, postponed their march there because there was not enough diversity. There were too many white women. The white women in that town were kind of offended because it is a white, you know, they don't have a lot of diversity in their town, and they feel as if they're doing the best that they can to march for people in marginalized communities, and yet they are too white. Are you worried about this driving divisions when it was supposed to unite women?
Well, I haven't had a direct conversation with those folks in that particular community. I would suggest that if people want to march, that they organize. Also, Washington, D.C. Will still be happening. We will be there. We will be marching on January 19th, and it will be all over the country. So I suggest that people who are looking for leadership look in the mirror and know that the leadership is within you.
Tamika Mallory, co-president of the Women's March. Tamika, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.